Mrajuhtuden.
Mrajuhtuden.
Sober as sober. Sober. Sober as
welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program devoted to bringing hope to those struggling with mental health issues and addiction. Through candid conversations with guests about mental health issues, addiction, and sobriety, we can let those who are struggling know that they are not alone. I am your host, Ralph Sara. On this show, I have Beatrice Deer. Beatrice is half Inuk and half Mohawk. She is a singer-songwriter from Gwakduk, Nunavik. She is a mom and has been sober for 11 years. And on this episode, Beatrice courageously shares her story for those who are still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Beatrice Deer. Hi, Beatrice. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing good. I reached out to you because I saw one of your posts that somebody else forwarded. So thank you so much.
I'm happy to be on your...
Can you go ahead and let everybody know who you are?
My name is Beatrice Deer. I'm from a very small village in Nunavik, Canada, called Gwakduk. It's about, its population is around 480 people. I grew up there, I was born there, and I moved to Montreal, Canada 16 years ago to pursue my education and music opportunities. I'm a singer, songwriter, I'm a mom. That's who I am.
Very cool, very cool. So you are living the sober lifestyle. How long have you been sober for?
I've been sober for 11 years, and it's the best choice I've ever made. One of the best choices I've ever made in my life. I used to have a very toxic life. I have a great family. I have great parents. But I experienced a lot of trauma growing up. So that led me to self-destructive behaviors and addiction to alcohol and addiction to toxic relationships. And after 10 years of just hardship, being in a toxic marriage, I decided one day that if I want to taste what pure happiness feels like, I have to do what I've never done before, which is quitting drinking and see what's out there, see what life is and see who I am. So that's what I did. I quit drinking.
Man, and when you quit drinking, you said it was the best decision you made, huh?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I wouldn't be where I am today if I didn't quit drinking 11 years ago. It was very hard because being sober, you have to face reality. You're no longer numbing yourself. You're no longer distracting yourself by partying, by present drama. When I was drinking, I would get into fights with my husband, with other people. I was super jealous of other women, and that made me forget what the real trauma, the real roots of childhood trauma were. So it never allowed me to really look at the real issues that I had stemming from my childhood. So I always had excuses as to why I was so angry, like my husband is cheating on me, or I messed up again while I was drunk. I started flirting and it got too far because I was drunk, or I was just angry, and all the crap that was happening in the present day were just a major distraction for me to seriously look into myself and look into my past to see why I behaved the way that I behaved, why I was turning to alcohol.
You said something, you can't help without healing yourself first. You can't change what happened. You can only change how you deal with it. And man.
Yes. Yeah. I used to be so angry because I carried so much undealt trauma. I carried being molested as a child, losing an older sister to suicide, losing my brother and sister and cousin in a house fire when I was 14 and surviving that, and then multiple sexual assaults. So I was extremely angry, and I had a very toxic marriage before my divorce, and I was just filled with so much hate, and I would rage and break things and fight my husband at the time, and I was so depressed. My poor kids were small. They were growing up in that environment, and it was so broken. I was so broken. And I didn't know where to get help, and people didn't know how to help me. My family didn't know how to help me. A lot of the times our family and friends don't know how to help us when we're in that state, because chances are they have undealt trauma as well. So alcohol and my anger was just, I would just explode. And I lived that for a decade, and I was so exhausted of living that. I was so exhausted of the shame and the guilt and seeing my kids, putting my kids through that, and feeling helpless. I couldn't control myself. And then when I got sober, that forced me to evaluate myself and search within myself and try and understand myself. And it took years, and it's still taking work. I've gone through extensive therapy. I've gone to therapy clinics where they specialize in helping women, sexual assault survivors, sexual abuse survivors, and that changed me tremendously. I've gone through so much therapy that it gave me tools on how to recognize the triggers and understand why I had so much anger. And a lot of times our anger comes from our childhood of being victims of different forms of abuse and not having any control or protection. And when we're victims of abuse, we blame ourselves. And the therapy really helped me dismantle all of that and untangle all of that and really recognize that I was not to blame for any of the abuse that I received as a child and the trauma of death around me in my family, and releasing all that and forgiving my perpetrators and forgiving myself. Ultimately, after going through all that, then the desire to drink just fades.
Man, you said
all of that shame and all of that guilt and everything, you didn't know what to do with it. You stuffed it down. I know, you know, in our native culture, that's how people live. You know, they don't, you're not to talk about your traumas or your past or what happened.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And for a lot of people, drinking is like an outlet. It's an unhealthy outlet, but it's an outlet, you know. We used to call it gacking, you know, because people would drink and have a good gack. They would cry, you know, and let it out. And even though it was unhealthy, drinking and doing that, they let it out a little bit, you know. But once you realized, you said, once you realized that you had no control over that situation, and you know, you start to forgive, and it's like lifting weight off of you little by little, you know. You start to be able to breathe a little bit, you know.
Very much, because when we have unresolved trauma, we're carrying this huge weight. It's like a ball and chain that we're trying, like an anchor that we're trying to carry, and we're trying to go on in life, and we're carrying this, we're chained to this trauma, and many of us have varying degrees of trauma, and the hope is that from my personal experience, what has released me many times the most is finally opening up about what I'm most ashamed of. For example, the sexual abuse that I experienced as a child was something that I was extremely afraid of opening up about. And then when I did that, it really changed my life. It, like, night and day, I seriously felt a real shift within me when I opened up about that. And I was no longer ashamed. I no longer craved toxic relationships with men. I no longer tolerated any emotional abuse from men after that, or from anyone for that matter. And I really believe that's what's the most freeing, is opening up about what the trauma that you're most ashamed about.
Yeah, you mentioned relationships a lot, and man, that was a big thing with me too, was, you know, having that codependent, unhealthy relationship with a lot of people. You know, you start to realize that you're relying on this other person that has the same kind of issues as you do.
You know,
and if you're feeding off of each other, man, that could become really explosive, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I'm a strong believer we are attracted to the same people that are like us. We are attracted to the vibes that they give off, and they're attracted to the vibes we give off. And we cannot sit comfortably with someone that is not on the same wavelength. So in my teenage years, I was attracted to toxic, angry, sexually dysfunctional people, because that's what I was at the time. And I had very low self-esteem, so I stayed with a very abusive, violent unfaithful husband, because that's how much, that's the same respect that I gave myself. And it took me years to understand that. But it's really not that complicated. If you're in a very toxic relationship, that's the same amount of love you have for yourself.
Mm.
And if you're in a healthy relationship, that's the love you have for yourself.
Wow. You know, I have a lot of friends, you know, maybe friends that I went through treatment with, and, you know, other friends that I've noticed, they get sober, you know, and they try to get sober, but then they go back to their old relationships that were, mm-hmm. you know, not so good. I guess mm-hmm. it is a nice way to say it. But mm-hmm. you sit back and you see these, because, you know, on social media, you could post whatever you want, basically, mm-hmm. almost. And sometimes I'm reading these things and I remember, oh my gosh, they had like a tumultuous relationship with that person. I hope, you know, in the back of my mm-hmm. mind, I'm like, oh no, please don't go back to that person, you know?
Yeah.
You know, like they mm-hmm. say, you have to change. If you want to live a better life, you got to change everything, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And that includes people.
It, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of discipline to be sober, and an extreme amount of discipline to change our old ways. I had to learn how to manage my feelings and how to manage my urges. And when I broke up with my husband at the time, it was so hard to let him go. He's the one who actually left me, and I had such a hard time with that. I chose the sober lifestyle, and he tried the sober lifestyle with me, but he wasn't ready, so he didn't want to stay in the marriage anymore. And that's like the best thing that's ever happened to me as well. And being sober and being conscious takes a lot of discipline, and when we're used to just like any other addiction, toxic relationships are very much an addiction as well, and they give this the same kind of high that we get from drugs or alcohol. For me, it was the high after like the physical violence, the apology, the I would do anything for you, I'm so sorry, I'd never hurt you again, I would never want to do that, I can't live my life without you, like that would give me a sense of power mm-hmm. over this person, and that's what I was addicted to. And it takes consciousness to recognize that and to teach yourself to say, no, I'm not going to listen to that. I can't go back to this toxic behavior. And to do that, I have to do something I've never done before, which is have discipline.
Man, and it's the hardest thing. Recovery and sobriety, we know when you're first starting out, it's the hardest thing to do. You know, it's like you have to be like a Band-Aid, you know, sometimes. All those bad things, relationships, whatever actions or whatever that you did before, you just have to, like, stop it like a Band-Aid. Just rip it out of your life, you know?
Yeah,
I mean, it's like the hardest thing at first, you know, and you said you don't reach a place in life and say, that's it, you know, now that it's you're ongoing. In sobriety. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You said life is an ongoing growing experience. Mm-hmm. And when you die, it's just physical. the spirit goes on, you said, and the soul goes on. And, you know, and you said, right now you're in a period where you're shifting from one place to another, like a higher level. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that to our listeners?
So, I'm always searching within myself and trying to understand spirituality and trying to feel spirituality. And I really believe that we all have a purpose in life. And once we start understanding that, and when we start believing that and understanding that and seeing that in our own life, you just want more, and you hunger for more, and then I started knowing and seeing that life is actually great. Not all the time, life is not perfect, but the moments where I felt the most free were just the most amazing feeling I've ever felt, and knowing that it's not the end, and knowing that there's more to life than life. It can be so abundant, and I thought I would never feel that ever, from having rejection issues from birth, from being sexually abused, sexually molested, and being physically abused. That brought on so much hate, and I never thought that I could feel joy. And today, so many things bring me joy, and to this day, there's always something that unlocks within me when I understand something deep, something liberating from a past trauma. It's always holy crap, my view on life just elevated once more, and I can't wait to share that with people.
Man, every person that I have on here, I seem to learn something new. You know, it's like it's ongoing learning process. You never start learning or stop learning. Start learning. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You never stop learning, and you know, it's you have to become teachable, though, you know?
Yes,
You can't say, I know everything, you know?
No. It's so important to stay humble and to be open. And just you can't... I'm extremely blessed and fortunate to have the people that I have in my life, to have success in my career, and I can never take that for granted. I believe in you get what you give. Kindness is so important to me, and being humble and grateful.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, you know. So
those kinds of situations just make me more grateful where I am in my life. I'm glad that I'm strong enough to be in those environments.
Yeah, definitely. So how are you living day to day? Now, how are you living soberly, day to day?
Most of the time I don't struggle at all with being sober. But if there's a very hard event like suicide in the family that just makes, like, that just really wrecks my heart, then I'll have like this urge to wish I could just drink. But again, I always have, like, my boyfriend is sober too, so I talk to him or talk to my sober friends and just say, I wish I could just drink right now, but I don't. I'm like, I just value my life and my family life, and I just value that so much that I'm not going to throw that away, and I need to be an example to the younger generation. So I'm very focused on my sober life, and I don't take it for granted.
Beatrice, what would you say to somebody who is, you know, currently struggling?
Focus on what you want to see in your life, what you want to become in your life, who you want to be in your life. Focus on that. Believe in that. Understand that the urge for drugs or alcohol passes. You just have to reach out to someone who understands, reach out for support, and have discipline and courage, and believe that you're stronger than this, because you are.
I love that. I love those words. So where can people find you? Like your social and your music?
We have a website called BeatriceDearBand.com. We're on Instagram, BeatriceDearBand. We're on Facebook, BeatriceDearBand. We're on all the online music platforms like Spotify, Bandcamp, Apple, and everything else. We're on YouTube. We're pretty active on Facebook and Instagram, so that's where you can find me.
Awesome. You guys have to come to Alaska.
I need to. That's one of my goals.
That would be so awesome. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. One day.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
Yeah, definitely, man. We'll make that happen.
Yes,
maybe somebody from an organization or something, AFN or whatever, would be listening, and they can get in touch with you. That would be so cool.
Oh, yeah. I do many projects. I do different kinds of projects. And, yeah, just contact us and let's talk.
Cool. Thank you. Well, Beatrice, I really want to thank you so much for having the courage to share your story and your thoughts. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for using your purpose to spread the good news about sobriety, Ralph.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join in the Anonymous Eskimo Project, Saturdays at 3 p.m., Sundays at 8 p.m. on KSKO, serving the western interior of Alaska for more than four decades. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1. the Native American Radio Network.